When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey, Christy.
Hi, Will.
How are you?
I'm good.
This is I Hear Voices. Who do we have today, Christy?
Shelby Young.
Shelby Young does a lot of different voices, does she not?
Yes, I stalk her on TikTok. I had her come today. I'm very excited to share with you all of the information that she has to jumpstart you on TikTok.
You can jumpstart me away. Never going to happen. However, it's going to be great to meet her because she is uber talented and she's doing a whole bunch of different voices and kind of telling us all about how she got into the world.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I Hear Voices.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Shelby's here, Will.
Shelby's here.
Shelby's here.
I'm here.
She's here. Look
Hi.
At her. She's not in the TikTok algorithm anymore. She's sitting next
to me. I've escaped. I crawled out through the screen like the Ring style, and now I'm here.
That is crazy.
But in a family-friendly way.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you have to. How does one crawl out of an algorithm is my question. As well.
You know what? It is kind of tricky to get out of that algorithm,
isn't it? It is indeed.
Once you're in an algorithm.
Again, I know nothing of social media.
You can't get out. But sometimes you can't get in, and that's the problem too, where it's like, well, why did this video not make it in the algorithm? I tried so hard, got so far, but in the end, it didn't really matter.
Right, so some people that use social media, Will is kind of off of it right now. I'm trying to lure him back in, but only in a responsible sense.
No, never, never.
And I've always been like, I've always been pushing him and I probably should stop. But I'm happy to have him here with us because it's really special to have him and to chat with you. And we'll talk about it. So like I met you on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I honestly fangirled her because she's so talented.
Thank you, which is insane because, I mean, I have fangirled both of you basically my entire life, which is so cool.
Thank you. We were watching your TikTok videos earlier, and a lot of the stuff you do is pretty amazing.
Thank you so
much. Going from Disney character to Disney character to Disney character was pretty awesome.
Thanks. Yeah. It's been a fun journey because I honestly, with TikTok specifically, I just started it during the pandemic because I was bored and I didn't think anything was going to come of it. And then what happened has kind of changed my life in a way, which is really wild.
Has it changed your life? How?
Well, just it's a whole other business now, which I never knew it would be. I never thought I would be doing brand deals. That wasn't ever something that was on my trajectory or radar. And then as far as with voiceover work, I've had some opportunities come up because of it. Or maybe sometimes it's been like a director that already knew my work but didn't know I could do so many different character voices and then reach out and they'd offer me something.
Well, it's a good platform to kind of show people what you can do because when you audition for a voiceover role or you do any kind of voiceover role, normally you go in to do one specific thing.
Right.
You don't get to sit there and showcase that you can do 40 different voices.
Exactly. Right.
Which not every voiceover actor can do. Some of the best voiceover actors in the world can only do one or two voices. I'm one of those guys.
Yeah,
I'm not one of the best in the world, but
that's not true. You could do a bunch of voices.
I can do a few, but I'm not one of these people that can do 40 voices.
Okay, Will,
like I've never been one of those people.
Will, your range is insane. He's Ron Stoppable and Batman.
I can go higher. Right, yes, I can go high or low. But it's not one of those things where it's like you work with some of these men and women, or even Shelby, where it's like, oh, you just did 15 voices in a row.
So Well, how do you approach that? I'm just curious. Like, how do you like decide
what the voice is
like when
be?
You, yes, I'm very curious.
Yeah, actually. Definitely. I mean, it's probably the same breakdown you guys would do where it's, I will hopefully get character art with my auditions, especially for animation characters, or at least they'll send sometimes like a reference for video game characters, sure. right? I look at the face, I look at the eyes of the character. Ooh, I read, I usually start reading the script before I actually read the breakdown because mm-hmm. usually you'll get a lot of context clues of who the character is through their interactions.
Sure.
Unless it's, you know, sometimes the copy is just line, 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 nothing in between. Excited, confident, this. Then I'll go back and read the character description. But I just kind of, yeah, I focus on the age, what they look like, what they, again, their character prototype seems like and go from there. Like if they're shy, I'll just soften my voice a little bit. Or if they're like really brash and loud, like I'll add that sort of depth into it. So yeah, I feel like you probably do a similar thing.
Yeah, we've talked about it because there might be, you know, several people that come on to I Hear Voices and be like, well, yeah, I see the art and I approach it and it tells me what to do. But I think you're selling yourself short because honestly, I do think there's a magic to your approach to things that is evident.
You're like, guys, I'm magic.
You're kind of amazing. And honestly, she okay, so there's this term called voice matching. It's a whole different part of the voiceover industry.
It's back in the day, it was probably called impersonations. Like, oh, you can do a good impersonation. Nowadays, that's not really, you know.
They've retermed
some.
It.
Well, they have because it's so much more than just impersonating somebody. Because, again, you're not just usually matching their voice, but you also have to match whatever acting style they do. I mean, that's a difficult thing to do because anybody, not anybody, but voiceover actors can go in there and maybe match tonally get the same cadence. But to actually then have the acting chops to match whoever did it is a difficult thing. So that's why we were looking at your, you know, kind of some of the stuff you were doing on, it is called TikTok. Am I getting this right?
Yes. Not a TikTok.
Different thing. The color ones are better than the other ones. Anyway.
really?
I love the colored ones.
What?
Are we going to get off on a whole tangent here about orange Tic Tacs are the best?
Oh, I do like those. They have a funky aftertaste. I thought you meant the ones that are the many colors in the boxes.
Oh, I don't think I've even
the new ones
those.
That came out that all just taste weird?
It's a medley. Yeah. It's like a medley in a little box and it just tastes...
Tic Tac sponsor us.
Exactly. And everyone at is going, wait a second, Tic-Tac. I downloaded Tic Tac. One of the things we were watching was that, again, you're matching the tonally or you're matching the cadence of the character. I mean, for instance, we were talking about Harley Quinn. We were looking at a bunch of different Harleys.
Yes.
And I know a lot of these women, you know, very well, from Hayden to Tara to all, you know, kind of some people that will take the same character and maybe do something a little bit different with them.
Absolutely.
So to be able to match all of them and kind of hit their acting style, I think is the thing that's most amazing.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I always feel like because it's happened in my career where not only I voice match, but I've voiced characters, like you're saying with Harley Quinn, where other actresses have voiced this character before. So I do find it's really important to honor previous performances while also figuring out your own iteration of that character as well. But yeah, when I'm doing it for TikTok or when I'm doing a straight up voice match, I am fully just focused on I need to be this person for the few minutes that I'm doing their efforts or their dialogue or whatever it is.
Yeah, you've done quite a bit of voice matching.
I have.
What other actual voice matching have you done in the industry?
I have done a lot of Marvel voice matching. I just worked on the latest Spider-Man. I was in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Who were you voice matching?
Yeah, who were you doing?
I wonder if I'm allowed to say.
Are you allowed to say?
I don't know how that
works. Let's put it this way. Maybe don't say.
Okay.
But
Shmen Maya.
In the matching voice, you could say you're not allowed to say who they
let's
are.
See.
And everyone can guess.
That's amazing.
Oh, shoot. Okay, let's see. Who are we going to do? I'll do Ant-Man and the Wasp. So the actress I voice match is from Saskatchewan, Canada. She wears a helmet a lot of the times, and sometimes it's my voice coming out.
Okay, perfect Thor.
Yeah, there we go.
Absolutely perfect Thor. I got that. Okay, so we didn't have to say anything.
In the comments section, you guys can you can tell us what you think.
I thought we were shutting off comments. We'll talk about that later.
Okay, great.
No, I'm kidding.
Don't come.
Okay, so that was very cool.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, I've done, I'm blanking now on everything I've ever worked on in my life. Go
You've
to my
just
website,
been most
shelby-young.com, and look at my resume.
There you go. Shelby was just everybody, it turns out.
See, that's true. The other thing is that voice actors really pop up everywhere and always in so many different, like, you don't even know because there's
that's
IMDb has done a better job of trying to collect, but it doesn't have all of them,
no.
right?
No, and even, it's unsung still.
I was also going to say on top of it too, people can update your IMDb with credits that aren't yours, which has happened right. to me before.
I love
it's like
that.
Wikipedia. Wait, it's the best.
Well, it just makes me look like I've done more things. yeah. Like, that's what's awesome. Like, I was in The Rock? That's awesome. yeah, very, very happy when that happened.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing with voiceover that people don't realize is we're everywhere.
Yeah.
If you walk into a store, there's a voice actor speaking over the speaker. That's you true. Go on a train, there's someone who pre-recorded something. You watch TV, the background actors that you're watching in film and television, which I do a lot of this, is called looping. The actors on set aren't actually speaking, right? The main character is what the focus is on. And then we go in and improvise what those people in the background were saying.
They're just moving their lips. Yeah, and well, because they can't make any noise. So the other right. thing that's cool is if you watch, every time there's a clapping scene, nobody actually hits their hands together.
Yep.
So you see 100 people behind just going like this and nobody's making any yep. noise. So that's always fun to watch.
You'll not be able to unsee it.
You do clap? You
oh,
do?
Oh, yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the only like Foley-esque thing that we do.
That's
is
cool.
We're
though.
Allowed to use our hands.
I'm also convinced I've never actually had a pilot flying the plane. It's just two voice actors in the front going lazy. And we're at 30,000
feet. It's like a monkey and a, exactly, yeah, and a
just,
robot.
They just, what they're there just as voiceover
There's
actors.
A bicycle I'm convinced just going that that's on its own in there.
So now I have a question for you.
Yes.
From an acting standpoint.
Yes.
So you can match, let's stick with Harley because
okay,
we,
sure.
we've seen this. So
yes.
you can match, say, four or five of the different Harley characters out mm-hmm. there. So your cast is Harley Quinn tomorrow.
Sure.
Do you go in with your own take entirely or do you maybe try to play on something that somebody's already done?
So I would base it off of my audition. So for, let's say I'm auditioning for Harley Quinn, right? I would do two takes. I would do a take that is totally my own iteration of her, unless they specifically say, like, we want a version of Tara Strong's Harley, or we want this, we want that. And then my second take would be more akin to the classic Harley Quinn, which is Arlene Sorkin.
Sure.
Is usually who my go-to is based off of, just because she was who the character was written for.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'd like keep that sort of like the peaks and the valleys that she has in there, but you always got to do the classic like, ha, it's Harley Quinn.
Love that stuff. That is Paul Dini and Bruce Timm who wrote that character,
yes.
by the way. Big shout out to Batman the Animated Series that changed the entire ballgame. Anyway, so here's the other thing Christy and I
Do
talked
it.
About
yes.
is because Christy has been doing voiceover for years and years and years.
Sorta. Yeah.
So, no, not sort of. Kim Possible, I mean, Big Hero 6.
I voice matched.
Right.
I voice matched for Angelina Jolie once.
No See? Way.
Yes, when I was at the height of my
voiceover career?
Yes, because at one point was really invested in wanting to be as awesome as Will. And I even was with his same agent and everything, and they were really awesome about sending me on really diverse types of things. And it was like, it just, the more you do it, mm-hmm. the more you can understand your like voice and like the things that
sure.
you can do with it and stuff
Absolutely.
Like that. There's, you have to have an incredible passion for the art of like voice work, you know?
But you're also, you're a really good singer. So you already have the idea that your voice is an instrument.
Yes.
So that's already ingrained in you.
It's
so that's
true.
Why you were, so you could jump right into the voiceover world. But
yeah.
the funny
yeah.
thing was, as we were talking Fair. About this and talking about doing this show,
yes.
you were like, I love voiceover. I don't really know anything about it. And so we were like, well, what are you talking? And you're like, just the world of animation. And then
yeah.
and the things we want to talk to Shelby about, because there's a big difference between like the world of animation and the world of video games.
Absolutely.
Which is a whole different kind of acting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, doing, like you say, you walk in, somebody records something for a train. That's a whole different type. I mean,
absolutely.
Like
yeah,
any
true.
Other nerddom, which is what I love about nerddoms, is you scratch the surface and you uncover a world.
Right.
And so that's the thing that's so cool about the voiceover world, is they call it the voiceover world because it's a world. And people who just do commercials may not be with people who just do animation, may
yeah.
not be with people who just do video games.
Well,
yeah.
it's crazy
so it's so
because
cool.
even a lot of my friends who have been working in the industry for so long, like you're saying, they had never heard of looping or voice matching or ADR.
They've never heard of
whole,
it.
It's a whole separate ballgame.
Sure.
Because it is, especially with the voice matching and why I was like, I don't know what characters I can say. It is something that it preserves the magic of the film when you don't say who you voice.
Sure.
Because then no one's going to be listening for, oh, wait, that might have been a different person speaking.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. Oh, they're paying
their
worst.
I do
really?
All the time.
I do that all
like
the time.
Like, that wasn't them. That wasn't them.
And I'm like, ADR. That was ADR.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. By the way, ADR for everybody out there, can you explain what ADRing is?
What's funny is I have no idea what the acronym stands for. Hi, I'm a professional voice actor.
I think it's additional dialogue recording.
That's it. It's
is it audio dialogue replacement?
It could be that as well. I think it's additional dialogue recording. It's one of those things. The D, I think, definitely stands for dialogue. And the R could be anything. It's recording. No. It is. It's a cleanup process, essentially, where you record a whole bunch of stuff, and then you set, you know, if it's animated, at least for a show, a lot of people don't realize that you record the show first, you send it away.
Yep.
It's gone for 8, 9, 10 months.
Yeah, for animation.
And then it comes back for the animation. And the thing is, maybe you recorded it in a room and you read it a certain way where two characters are whispering to each other, and they animate it and you're standing across a cavern. So you've got to go back and re-record everything you've done, and that's just
but
kind of
this
the
time
process.
You have to match the pacing and the lips
correct.
Of this animated character, or with the voice matching. Like, one I will say I did was for Red Notice, I did Gal Gadot's voice matching for it. So it was like,
ooh,
having to match
it?
Let's see, I don't remember one of my
do
lines from that, but
voices.
I can do one of her lines from Wonder Woman. I cannot stand by while innocent lives are lost.
That was good.
That was good.
That was very gal.
You know what was not good was the second Wonder Woman. But that's a whole different conversation we can get into
later.
We are
turning off the comment section. Don't worry.
I don't think
many people are going to disagree with me because the first one was so good.
First one was amazing. I know, yeah.
Again, that's my nerd. My nerd
one,
will pop out.
I think that was more popular. It seems like I saw they promoted it more.
Who does a Wonder Woman movie that takes place in the 80s and uses no 80s music?
Oh, that's odd. That's odd.
It's like it's the 80s. The 80s was known for their music,
yeah.
And there's like no 80s music.
I thought the 80s was known for parachute pants.
That too. and breakdancing, which I was pretty good at.
Were you?
I was.
Oh.
I was, thank
so
you very much.
So this is why you deleted social media, because you'd be posting breakdancing videos on TikTok if you had one.
Exactly.
This is your way into the algorithm.
Really? That, you think I'm just going to start doing breakdance videos on TikTok?
I bring it out to 80.
Yes.
We're filming
it
later.
I see you and I are on the same page.
She's also done mocap, Shelby.
That's funny, because that's exactly what I think we should talk about next. Because that's a whole, we're talking about the different worlds of animation. Explain to us what mocap is for people that don't understand.
Sure, mocap, which I actually know what that stands for, is motion capture, or PCAP, performance capture. But basically, along with your voice acting, it's kind of a perfect marriage of film acting, stage acting, and voiceover, because you're on a soundstage, you have nothing there. You're just in a blank room with cameras surrounding you. They'll build props out of sometimes like a wooden table or little sort of proppy things, but you're in a wetsuit like deal with these little trackers. People call them ping pong balls all over you. You have, I call it headgear, but you got this helmet and this camera right in front of your face, and you got to pretend it's not there, and you act.
Wow.
You got to act. And you're with other actors, which is great. Because a lot of the times, I know with animation in the before times, you were able to be in the same room working together. Now, you know, everybody's kind of recording from home or going in separately into the studios. But with mocap, we get tested every day, but we still are in with the other actors. There's just no way to film that without.
Well, yeah, you and you get to play off of everybody and do it. Well, let's call it BCT from now on, which is before COVID times.
Before COVID times, I like
BCT.
It. BCT.
So my question is this, because I was a gamer for a while, and then there's just now too many buttons. Yeah. So the thing I always found interesting about video games, a lot of people don't know, especially when you go in to record, is that you can shred your voice when you're just doing a video.
Absolutely.
You get a script like this thick. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's an effort session.
And you are. By efforts, every time a character gets hit or gets shot. Exactly. And it's big and small and medium and that kind of stuff. So when you're doing mocap, back in the day when you played a video game, the character went one way, it did one thing, it jumped, it did whatever you had to do, and that was the game. Now, you turn left down a hallway, it's a whole different scene. You turn right down a hallway, it's a whole different scene. Do you have to record for every eventuality that the player can make?
So any cutscene that, if a game is utilizing motion capture, they will film that scene and use motion capture, film every actor that way. And then the in-game dialogue, we record separately, just in the booth like a regular video game. So I'm not mocapping my actual, you know, fight movements unless it's in the cutscene where the player isn't playing as the character at that moment. And then even then, it's usually stunt doubles for the actual fight stuff. And then I just take the credit and look cool. No, I don't. I love stunt doubles.
That is kind of fair though, right? Because like if there are stunts that people are, it's all, like you said, it's part of the magic. Like nobody's really seeing it.
Oh, totally. It is.
A collaboration.
I've become really good friends though. I've been lucky enough to work on a couple projects in Sweden, which is insane. So I've become really close with the team there because it's a smaller market. So it's a lot of the same stunt actors. And one of the games that I can talk about that's out was Wolfenstein Youngblood, which was
this. Have you played this?
I played the original Wolfenstein.
Okay.
And
did
I don't mean
you?
To jump on what you're going to say,
please.
But weren't you one of, if not the first female characters that was playable.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. So it was me and my great friend, another voice actor, Valerie Rose Lohman, and you could choose to play as either Soph, which was me, or Jess, which was her. And we were the twin daughters of the protagonist, BJ. But yeah, first female playable characters in the franchise, which was so cool. But with the stunts in that, I remember filming them. It was so funny. So we have these crazy fight scenes going on, but they still need us to act with our faces as if we're getting hit and thrown. So we're standing off to the side just like, wow, as they're actually doing these stunts right in front of us.
Isn't that the best?
Yeah.
Now, which one do you prefer? Do you prefer mocap or straight up animation or TikTok?
It's so hard. And by the way, she's also on camera. She's done a ton. She was on American Horror Story.
This is true.
But this also, I hear voices.
Oh, that's true.
Not I see faces. That's a whole different thing.
That's true. Yeah, well, I mean, but if we go back for just a second,
sure.
Like, what was your approach into voice acting?
Yeah, it's so crazy. I sort of fell into it when I was a kid. So I'm from Florida originally. I lived in New York for a bit, though. And then came out here eventually. But when I was in New York, I had done a few VO jobs. It was a lot of those like Silly Rabbit Tricks Are for Kids commercials, which was really cool. But when I was a kid, I didn't understand that that was also a career.
Right.
I thought like actors are on camera and then they do these on the side,
yeah.
Which is so wrong now.
Yeah.
It is so wrong.
Yeah.
But then when I was a bit older, I went in just for a mocap audition through my theatrical rep. So it was just like a regular film or TV audition. They just wanted a little bit more movement than normally. And I ended up booking it, which is this game called Dead Rising 3. And I was one of the leads, which was insane. And
it was a big game, too, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was a really big game.
Yeah.
For your
yeah.
first one, especially.
It was
yeah.
crazy. It was so cool. I played Annie, and she was this, like, really cool punk chick, and we were killing zombies, and it was great.
So this is stuff that, like, you were mentioning on GMA, which, by the way, that's amazing. You
were
on
Good
Morning America.
Yeah, that was nuts. That blew. I don't understand what happened in this last year, honestly. I'm not going to lie. I'm just along for the ride.
And you were saying you like to do parts that you wouldn't physically be able to do.
Yeah.
So that's like a perfect example.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could not kill a zombie to save my life. You know,
I
don't have.
When push comes to shove, you could.
If they were attacking my
cat. Exactly.
Cats,
you,
then
or
I could.
You have somebody else do it and you make the faces.
Exactly. Oh, that.
There,
there
we go.
Good. Yeah, there we good.
But no, it was just, I had so much fun on that set and it felt just like the truest form of acting I'd ever done. And in the way that...
Even more than on camera?
Yeah.
How so?
Only because I didn't have to worry about my lighting. I didn't have to worry about where the camera was. You know, when you're an actor, you're obviously your main focus is your performance, but you are having to worry,
sure.
like, am I blocking their light?
Sure.
Am I in the right frame? Like,
how do what? I look?
It's
all
anxious.
That case.
Yeah.
It doesn't
yeah.
matter.
With mocap, it does not matter. Everybody looks ridiculous. There are no egos in mocap.
That's cool, man.
The camera is on your face, but it's from this really bad angle anyway, so it doesn't matter. They're seeing up your nose. But then what's interesting about it is it's like theater in the aspect of they do long takes. So if it's a scene that's 6 pages, we'll try to get through all 6 pages. And if there is a mishap or someone flubs a line, usually they'll stop and you start again from the beginning. So I know with theater you don't get to reset like that, but you have to be prepared to
sure.
go through an entire scene.
Yeah.
Which I really, it's flexing a lot of muscles, which I really enjoyed.
And I mean, I've seen since when we were kids, like we were playing on our little Game Boys.
Yeah.
Such a growth in character development.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's, games are so cinematic now. They're up there with films. Like, it's wild.
They really are.
Well, I think the Kim Possible game, which we did at one point, it was, we recorded like 3 things for it. It was like, you
What'd
say,
you
booyah.
Yep.
You say, what, you know, what's the sitch?
Yep.
Why and did, you hear the beep, 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 and that was like it. Now,
why did they make us? Well, it was also one that I've seen people post on TikTok about nostalgia stuff and how they're like, well, you know, you're elite. It's a term people say about being very cool.
Oh, cool.
You know, you're elite.
Isn't that fire? Aren't I fire?
That's
is that
also part of it.
Sweet. Is that still a thing?
Fire's
kind of
fading.
Out. Kind
fire's
of out.
Fire's fading.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah.
Let's
but
make
you know
up a
you're
new
elite.
One. Blorf.
Blorf.
You know
like
you're blorf.
You know you're blorf
you know
when.
You're blorf
when.
If
yeah,
you
exactly.
played this game on your desktop, which was
okay.
the KP, like, right. I guess we did something.
Oh, the Epcot Center thing.
No.
Oh, that's a different one?
Yeah, I do remember though with KP, like, have you ever done anything for any of like a theme park? You are wearing a Universal Studios.
I am,
yeah,
that's
so
true.
I
did not work for them. I did a few for the, when they opened up Galaxy's Edge at Disney, I did some just atmosphere voices,
oh,
which
cool.
was so freaking
cool. Well, we're going to get into Star Wars in a second.
Oh, yeah.
Because the nerd in me is going to get there in a second. But we got to finish this first,
oh,
and,
please.
Then we'll, and then I'm going to geek out for a
second. We did an Epcot ride that
yeah.
I
that's
never
cool.
actually went to. Did you?
No.
Kim Possible had a Save the
I
World
I can't
ride.
Remember. We had to save it. And it, what it was.
They never sent us
that. I would have been Epcot the first Center. One on the plane if I had a ride at Epcot. Are you kidding me?
Well, no. I mean, the thing about Epcot, especially back in the day, was it's like, hey, kids, we're going to Disney World. Yes, we're going to Epcot.
Oh,
all right.
Which like, now
it's my favorite
part.
It was great. But it was, so they, at one point, to make it a little better, they did, it was like a treasure hunt.
Dude, they had like stuff coming in and out of the walls, yeah. Like in different parts of the, every country.
And that's, you had your own so communicator. Cool. Yeah, and it was Wade a huge ride. And Ron were helping you get through.
Yeah,
and
they actually fabricated or made, yeah. manufactured communicators.
Yeah.
That would have remote sensors to like ping things yeah. in the wall to come out as long as you put in a right code or something.
And we recorded all this
it
stuff.
It was amazing.
For it,
wow. it was
and like, it's yeah, you're close. Come on, you're so close. It was like, yeah, yeah, all that kind of stuff. It was nuts.
Oh, dude,
yeah.
it was so cool. And
I don't even
so
think
bummed.
That was the Ron voice, by the way. I haven't done it in so long that I think that was a whole different character.
Let's dust it off.
You gotta dust off the Ron
dust
voice.
Dust it off.
Meanwhile, I'm over here geeking out, like, oh my God, I'm talking to Ron Suffolk like Impossible right now. What?
Yes, I here wish I could are. Still do it. It was cool.
Yeah, so nerddom, like, what's your favorite nerddom? What,
oh God, are we getting into
nerdy?
Nerdums
yes,
down?
Let's
here we
get
go.
Nerdy.
Let's do it. Okay,
let me stretch. Let me stretch.
Nerdy.
Is that a thing?
It
you pointed
is
right at the camera
now
too.
It is. I'm making like it.
Let's
a
get
thing.
Nerdy's blorf. Let's as
get
they say,
blorf.
As the kids say,
we're gonna
come up with a better
gonna catch
one.
On
onomatopoetically, that is not a good word. So we'll come up with something better.
No, for me, it's Disney, Harry Potter, Star Wars. That's my main big.
What's your house?
Slytherin. Yeah.
Are
you surprised?
I'm not. Because your eyes are so beautiful and you're raven haired.
It's all about the eyes? Interesting.
I don't know. I can see it. I can see it.
This is why I got cast as a bully a lot on TV.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, Slytherin gets a bad rep, okay? They really do. I've had this argument so many times.
I would agree. I would agree.
They do.
I would agree.
I'm so here for
this. If we're going off of the books, yeah, everybody in Slytherin is awful. But then there was so much more world building after that where it's like Merlin was a Slytherin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Slytherins are just cunning. Like, we're good at figuring out what we want and we'll go and we will get what we want. But we're also very loyal to our friends. Not as loyal as Hufflepuffs. I'll give you that. But, you know.
Also, you're wearing your Slytherin house color on your nails.
I am, indeed.
This
I was at a wedding.
This is where you know. This is
dress.
Where you know us, fellow nerds. This is where we know each other. Like, we might as well have like it's like a like we know like some kind of a handshake, exactly. Because when you mention some people that aren't nerds are like, I'm a Gryffindor. It's like, what do you like about him? You know, Harry Potter, and it's
colors.
Like that kind of stuff. Whereas then you get people that are like, let me defend Slytherin for a second. Now,
go.
If you go back six generations, it's like, that's how you know nerds.
It all starts with the House of Black.
That's
so,
what I love.
Nymphadora Tonks.
There's actually a really big TikTok account. Do you watch that one? The
Which
House
one?
Of Black?
Oh,
one?
Yeah.
These women are very attractive, and they've created
all
backstory. Of the... A whole backstory of every female character that you see in the Harry Potter franchise, but now they're like young and interacting with, like,
it's so cool.
Bellatrix Lestrange, and like,
she was not the nicest person.
No, and they have her.
What do you mean now?
Yeah, wait, you have a Bellatrix voice.
Oh gosh, let's
I've
see.
Seen
do
it.
You?
I can do her laugh. Let's see.
See, that's pretty Bellatrix-y.
Yeah.
That's pretty Bellatrix-y. Yeah.
Anytime you want to do a Harry Potter anything, I'm game for it.
Okay, so is that your nerd dimension?
Yeah, it is. I don't know
that's
if you
great.
Knew that, but that's
I did not.
Yeah.
I know. I'm a big Harry Potter fan,
okay,
so love
cool.
that. All right,
we
that's
see?
Good.
We'll share that.
We'll find that. So you also now we're gonna jump in a little bit more of my nerddom, and it's not
yes.
my ultimate nerddom.
Okay.
But it is, but I'm a very big fan. You have done a lot of stuff for Star Wars.
I have.
You mean Dune? The prequel to Dune.
What? Wow. Now the
Ouch!
Comments really right. have to be shut off.
I gotta go.
yes, wow.
I went into Star Wars Land yesterday. I went to Disneyland. It was cute. It was cute.
Wow. Oh.
It was cute.
Well, thanks, everybody.
Sorry, did you fly the Falcon and call it cute?
Wow.
I didn't even fly it.
Wow.
You know.
See, this is where, again... Not a nerd for Star Wars.
But
and
I get
anyway,
it.
The
okay.
ultimate hero's journey.
Wait, what is so amazing about Star Wars, guys?
The ultimate hero's
it's
journey.
It's the ultimate hero's journey. It's the farm boy who found out that he's essentially a magical sorcerer and then has to go and make out with his sister. Everybody loves that.
Okay, I did actually study this. It's called the monomyth. It's a monomyth. I studied it In college, stay in school, kids.
Ooh.
Because you get to learn cool things like that. It's called the monomyth. There's like Odyssey and, all
the
hero's
journey.
It's like they start in a cave. Technically, they should start in a cave and then they come out, and then there's always a mentor, and the mentor has to be taken from them.
Right.
And then they cross a threshold, you know, and then they become, you know,
the hero that they
I
were
think
meant to be.
First of all, for everyone who hasn't seen Star Wars, spoiler alert about your mentor taken from, I mean, just throwing it out there.
I think that time frame.
I know you've got one. But that's one thing about Star Wars is that it lasts generation.
Oh,
100%. So the big thing that was on the intranet, I think they call it for a while, was parents filming their kids finding out, spoiler alert, that Darth Vader was Luke's father.
Oh,
and it's like seeing these little kids going like, what? Like, you know, getting, and it's like Christmas.
Amazing.
You get to experience it again, you know, when you have kids.
That's
or so
amazing.
I'm told.
I came into
that's
Star
okay.
Wars.
We'll
late.
Do it. We'll do it with my kids. If my kids are gonna watch Star Wars, I'm gonna call Uncle Will, and they're gonna watch it with you.
I think that would be great.
I think my oldest Izzy is going to be a total Star Wars.
I hope so. Yeah. Star Wars is a wonderful world all the way around. But
yeah.
Shelby, you got to play one of the most iconic characters in the history of the franchise.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little about that?
Yes. So I have voiced Princess Leia, which is still crazy to say. And it's been so many years of saying it, but it's still like pinch me. I worked on a show called Star Wars Forces of Destiny that was on Disney. And then I just reprised my role in Lego Star Wars Terrifying Tales on Disney+.
Awesome.
It blew my mind when I booked that role. Like, I did not... It was, first of all, my first animation role.
Your first animation
really?
Role ever was Princess Leia.
Yeah, again, I'd done, like, animated commercials. But
right.
This was my first, like, in a series playing a character, and it was Princess Leia, which is crazy.
That's pretty good.
Like, I called my mom, I remember, when I found out I booked the role, which is, I know you're not supposed to do because of NDAs, but, you know, it was my mom, DA.
I think your mom is okay.
Yeah.
I think even they would allow you to.
She made your voice.
She did.
She made your larynx.
But my mom isn't a Star Wars nerd, so she was just kind of like, oh, I'm happy for you, honey. And I'm like, no, mom, you don't understand what just happened. And she's like, okay.
That's awesome. So this brings us then to, I think, since you talked about your mom, let's talk a little bit about growing up.
Yeah.
So I know that when I was growing up, I was a huge fan of animation.
Yeah.
We didn't call it animation or animated series at the
cartoons.
Time. It was just cartoons.
Yeah.
So what
yeah,
was your true. Jam growing up? What were your favorite cartoons? What did you
I
have to see
question.
when you were a kid?
SpongeBob was like my number one.
Okay.
Yeah. SpongeBob, absolutely. Avatar The Last Airbender was one that was
such a good show.
Yeah, genuinely show. Out of
I
all
like the movie though. And nobody likes the movie, but
God,
I like
the comments are off. We're sure of this.
You liked the live action. Where they called him Ong.
And they just decided to change the pronunciation
yeah,
of everything. It was
I
Avatar.
Yeah, the
so I was
Avatar.
Like, what are you doing?
Who eats avocados?
Yeah.
No, no.
Okay.
Okay, comments
right.
are off, people.
Comments
we're
are
sure.
off.
That
it's
is
okay.
not Blorf. Craziness.
But genuinely, that show was one that, I mean, I was already in the industry. I started acting when I was 5, so it's something that I'd always known I wanted to do. But cartoons, again, just seemed like something so separate and different. And I remember, honestly, I don't think you'll remember this. You were with, or are you with, CED or CSC?
CSC, still. 20-some odd years, yeah.
So when I was first out here, when I was 12, 13-ish, I went in for an audition, and you were there. And you were in the waiting room, and I was like, oh my God, Mom. He's unstoppable, and he's Eric. And my mom's like, just say hi. And I'm like, I can't say hi. And she said hi. And you were so sweet and so
what?
Kind.
Oh, thank God. I thought this story was going in dangerous places.
And you punched me in the face. And then you booked the role I was going for. No, but it was one of those things where, like, as excited as I was about other actors, it was a world that I knew. So I'd never really geeked out about meeting other actors.
Sure.
But meeting voice actors, I was like, they're in cartoons.
That's really
They're
cool.
In cartoons. That's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was one of those moments. But no, Avatar was one of those shows that I was like, whoa, cartoons aimed for children can still have plot lines like this. Like, this is still something.
And it was a whole arc.
Yeah.
It was like, 100%. It was an entire arc. So you were watching a series where it was like, you needed to see the next one.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, very,
fully.
Very cool.
Honestly, it was pretty much, I'm just thinking like every Nickelodeon cartoon, like Cat Dog, Angry Beavers. That was my jam
okay.
when I was a kid.
Yeah. That's They're, cool.
They did have better animation for a lot, until KP, you know.
I didn't even look at you the same after hearing you
what?
Liked the Avatar, The Last
Wait,
Airbender,
okay,
the movie.
In my defense, people, in my defense, Avatar's movie, I was unaware of the, I didn't even know about the cartoon.
Okay.
This is why we're doing this show.
Okay.
And so when my entry point into it was that it was a cute kids movie.
Okay.
Legit.
Okay.
Like, I thought it was a cute kids movie.
Okay.
And so, like, yeah, we're reaching across the aisle.
Okay, in the guise of like watching like a Spy Kids kind of thing or something like that.
Yeah, it was cute. I thought it was almost like Percy Jackson, which, by the way, okay. I'm super into that show.
Okay.
I'm actually a fandom for Percy Jackson.
See, that's one I don't know much about.
Percy Jackson. It's a really cute movie. It's Harry Potter, but worse.
But Greek. And now, so well, that's it's what worse, it is. But they just got greenlit to do a whole series.
Yes. Now, see, the series hopefully is going to be better because what happened was... Again, my nerddom. Yeah. I'm a fantasy nerd. That's my major nerddom is fantasy.
Did you read the Aragon books?
Don't even start.
Okay.
He reads a lot.
It's just my total
nerddom. I didn't even read this paper, but he reads
so much. You knew much of it.
I see the yellow parts that were highlighted.
Well, she highlights things because they pop out. But so with Percy, the author of Percy Jackson didn't like the movies either and had nothing to do with it. And so now he is going to be involved in the show.
Oh.
So everybody's looking forward to where it's like, oh, they're actually going to do
it. Which is what I'm nervous with the new Avatar, The Last Airbender live action show was because originally the creators were involved in it, but they walked away.
Right.
So now I'm like, oh, no, not again. Although the casting looks great so far. So I'm keeping my hopes.
If we're honest, it can't get much worse. Mm-hmm. I mean... Unless they're doing it just, they go to everybody's house, knock on the door in costume and go, we're just going to act out a scene for you. Like, it can't get much worse than that.
That would actually be entertaining
movie.
And I would watch that.
That would be better than the last one was anyway. Because yikes. But
okay, I will never watch it again.
No, you're allowed. Here's the thing. We always joked, my friends do a show called Critical Role where they play Dungeons and Dragons
Your
for
friends.
A living.
His friends, you should see who his cool ass friends
they're
are.
They're my friends. But what they always joke that one of the things they say is when people criticize them, it's like they say, you know what? Your fun is wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like, your fun is not wrong. So if you are a big fan of that awful, awful movie, you should own that.
Okay.
There's no problem with that whatsoever.
That's true. Because in a way, you're the cool people.
You and I are judging a little bit. Let's be honest.
And if anybody's going to judge, though, you guys would be qualified to judge.
Okay. So we talked about your cartoons growing up. I've got another interesting question. Something that Christy and I were actually talking about because.
I love this question. I'm sorry.
Which one? How do you remain childlike? I like that.
Well, I have an annual pass to Disneyland.
There you go.
I refuse to grow up. I don't do the chores that I should be doing. And I put off my taxes as long as I can.
There you go.
Wow. Interesting. Well, first of all, it's like you had those answers like a holster and you're like, bam, here's how I do that instantly.
Again, yes and. That's how I've been trained.
That is, very impressive. But here's the question. Growing up.
Yes.
Did you do voices? For yourself?
100%.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so.
Because you do. I mean, probably like hundreds of voices.
Like, a lot.
There's no voice. Well, they're all speaking in my head. This is called I Hear Voices, right?
Yes.
Let's break down all the voices I hear in my head every day. Okay. There's one that tells me I'm doing good.
That's a good one. That's a good voice to have.
I was like, this is kid friendly. I can't go too dark.
That's also the only voice you should listen to is the one who tells you you're doing well. Yeah.
No, I grew up with my mom doing a terrible impression of Sebastian from The Little Mermaid.
Okay. What was it like? Can you do a bad impression?
It was like,
of
life is the bubbles. I'm like, oh, okay, mom. Oh, yeah. Okay. And then my dad did Yogi Bear and I would do Boo Boo. So he'd be like, hey, Boo Boo. I'm like, yeah, Yogi. And he'd be like, we're going to go to the movies today.
That's great.
That's really cute.
It was super fun.
So they were doing voices to you and you were kind of jumping in with the voices back.
Absolutely.
That's really
playing
cool.
Pretend was...
That gives me hope. I do that right now with my kids.
Well, it's going to work. 99% of my childhood was playing pretend because we didn't have, you know, cell phones and computers and all of that until I was like 10, 11, I think, when my friends started getting phones and we had like one family computer growing up. I think I'm like the last generation where it's like we got it during childhood, but not fully during childhood.
You never had a pager, did you?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't. Yeah, so. That was my older brother's generation.
Okay.
But so you couldn't call us and beep us if you wanted.
No.
You wanted
to. Text
no.
us.
I did not know
we're
what
the
situation was.
The song. No. No, I have to rewrite the whole song.
Text us. DM us,
us
if
DM,
you wanna.
Yeah. There. Yeah. See, there we'll come up close. That was good. That was good.
But I know what I did though. That it's so funny because now I'm like, wow, I was preparing for my future job without realizing it, is I would film on my little digital camera off of YouTube. I would film scenes from, or even off my TV, scenes from Disney movies. Because what we were saying also, growing up, I watched a lot of Nickelodeon cartoons, but I loved watching Disney movies. Like the animated Disney classics. Mm. Oh, that's my bread and butter.
Okay.
But I would film these And then I would take out the sound, and then I would try to do impressions like put my voice in it. Yeah,
without you had a voice match.
And I was doing it just for fun. Yeah. I was. That's great. I had no idea, and I'd make my friends do it. They'd get so annoyed. I'm like, guys, come on, no, let's do it. You're Stitch. I'm Lilo. Let's go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you really were then. Like, you might not have known you wanted to do this, but you were training for it for most of your
crazy.
Life.
Crazy.
That's
and
really
like,
cool, though.
It just also like once I got into the voiceover space. It just felt right. It was one of those things where, you know, when you get deja vu and it's almost like that feeling of I was supposed to be here at this time. It was like that, like something just clicked.
That's cool.
Where I've always loved acting and I've always loved performing, but it was finally like, oh, this is the medium it was supposed to be always. Oh, cool.
That's How do you feel, Will? Did you feel similar to that?
I did. It was a little daunting for me because the first role I ever did was Batman, and I'm sitting next to Kevin Conroy
as I'm doing it.
Yeah, it was nuts. So it was you know, Andrea Romano's directing and Bruce Timm and Paul Dini are producing, and it was not Mark Hamill still the Joker. I mean, it was nuts.
Yeah.
So I was more just, don't mess up, they're going to fire you.
Yeah.
I'm to this day convinced they're going to replace me as Batman. we finished in 2000 or 99, and I'm convinced I'm going to go back and I'm going to pop in the tape and like, oh, it's Jason Marsden. Like,
I'm curious if you guys are the same way. It sounds like you are, because I'm like this. I will not tell. I will tell, like I said, like my mom or a close friend when I book something. But I am too afraid to tell anybody else, not because of an NDA, but because I'm convinced that it won't be me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, have you been replaced?
I have.
Been replaced.
Yes. It's happened to every voice actor.
Yeah.
But
have you been replaced?
I don't think so.
Oh, see.
Wow.
Maybe once. And
you don't need to make it up to make us feel
better. I think maybe I was. I don't know. Again, they cast me because I do like two things. So it's not, you know, it's not like, oh my God, we thought you were going to do 19 voices and you didn't. It's
you don't
like,
call Will
we need young
get...
hero. So there's like four of us that did young heroes, like myself, Jason Marsden, Yuri Lowenthal. There was like, you know, there's like four of us that do it.
Yeah.
So
did you work with Matt Lanter? Was he on that Star Wars thing?
No, different show.
Okay.
Or no, he was on it, but we weren't in the same episodes.
Got
it was
it.
All in
He's
the
got
actual-
got that hero.
What's the word I'm looking for? I'm failing in my fandom right now. It's canon. Everything is canon.
Yeah.
So we never interacted because our characters were different timelines.
Is it still canon, or did Disney come in and change everything?
For Forces of Destiny, they were all canon shorts.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay,
so
cool.
Everything that happened in that, even though they were all, so it was all short, they were all shorts for the show. And they came out and said that it was all canon, which I didn't
You were
know,
two princesses in that, weren't
I
you?
I was. I was also Princess Nisa, the Ewok, which that was very fun.
So
spoke
cute.
A lot of Ewokese.
I was
going to
say, is that like a regular Avatar thing? Not Last Airbender, but Avatar, where they created the whole language. Is that is there an Ewok language?
What I did was I followed D. Bradley Baker and just copied him to the best of my abilities. That man is
slightly talented.
Right? Yeah. Oh, he's terrible.
Wait, so can I hear some Ewokese?
He was kind of just like
forget D. Bradley.
There are certain words that are definitely something like Ewoks that would say like, yep, nub, Ewok, Ewok, oh, Ewok, hey, so it's just a lot of gibberish.
That yub-nub is from, it's like from the movie. Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to hear you keep making noises. And we are going to do something super fun on I Hear Voices.
Woo!
So for our first round of I Hear Voices, because we have not yet been out there.
Right.
We are not fully interactive yet, but we will be fully interactive. And one of the things about this show that we love and we think is the greatest thing in the world is that there's so many, especially kids out there, that love to draw, that love to create characters. So they're gonna come on with their characters and they're gonna have the best voiceover actors in the world voicing their character.
That's so cool.
So until that day, Christy Carlson Romano, who I don't know if you've met, she's here on my right.
It's me.
Oh,
I'm that person.
That's her.
That's me.
Who is big on the Tic Tac machine.
Yes.
Big on Instanot.
Yeah.
Huge on whatever.
No, definitely
not. No, not on that one. No. But on all of the intranets, has asked her follower to send. See how I see what I did? I made it singular. Ask her
follower.
Oh,
anyway,
no,
no, I know. She's like, oh no! Again, Christy.
He understands how the World Wide Web works.
Has asked some people to send in some pictures. We still haven't figured out exactly how we're going to do this. It's blind, so we don't know what's coming up. But how many should we do?
Just one.
Do you want to do one?
We must do just one, but we should get really in depth with it.
Okay.
Okay.
Very
so should we?
Or maybe we could do like different versions.
Should we let Shelby pick? Should it be like a card trick where it's like we fan it out and she grabs one and then that's what she's stuck with? Should we go that way?
I think I'm cool with that.
Are you cool with that?
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to go upside down too. Just think of a number 1 to 608 because we got a lot of, I'm kidding.
Okay, 7.
There's also storylines behind them.
Are there really?
Yeah. Right, Elizabeth?
Very few.
Okay.
Very, very few.
If she picks one that has a storyline, I will pull it up.
Oh, perfect.
I am then going to change the storyline to make it evil. So here you go.
If there isn't a storyline, we'll give them one.
Okay.
Pick.
Ooh, what's calling to me?
Any character you want there.
Oh, you have a
I do. I've got a good grip
there
on
go.
There.
Ooh.
Okay. Wow.
What is this one? Is there a storyline?
There isn't.
Is there a name and an age?
Remy.
10 years.
10 years old.
Okay,
this
so
is from
Remy.
Let's get
Remy.
A shot at least of this.
And now to describe it. Now, we're going to let Shelby. Shelby, could you describe to our podcasting listening audience what you're looking at there?
I'm looking at a beautiful drawing of Remy, who's 10 years old. Okay. Unless, is it Remy created
I think
the
Remy
character?
Created the character.
Of Remy's creation. And Remy is 10 years old. And also, though, I think I'm going to base this character off of Remy. This is Remy 2.
Okay. What does it look like for everybody who's not watching on the YouTubes?
Almost like a Picasso-esque portrait.
Okay. Pretty good. Right? It's pretty good.
It's really good.
A 10-year-old Remy, good job.
I couldn't do this now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's lots of different colors.
Yeah, it's blue, greens, a little bit of pinks in there.
Remy's
you know,
got a set of a sort of a cool haircut.
Yeah, how super old? Cool. So we're going to call this character Remy? Is that what okay.
Yeah,
he looks
I think
how
so.
How old would we think Remy is?
He looks a little moody.
He does. He looks moody. My guess is he's a preteen. I'd say about 12.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's like a skater boy.
He looks like a skater boy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said, "See you later, boy." No, he.
Wow.
Yeah.
An Avril Lavigne.
Hey, I'm with you.
Reference.
Of course.
Wow.
I've got a nerddom for her.
For Avril Lavigne.
You do. You have a nerddom for Avril Lavigne.
Did you see her Tony Hawk TikTok? Her and Tony Hawk made a TikTok together.
Oh well, now I need to see.
Oh yeah.
It. I think I may have.
Yeah. But so. So looking at this, I would obviously start to go into like more of a little boy voice here, but he's not too little. He's just this cool dude, right? Like
right.
he's just skating. It was kind of embarrassing the other day because he has this little crush on this girl at his school, right? And he totally biffed it on his skateboard in front of her. Yeah, and then he got up though and was like, oh, did you see that? Yeah, no, I meant to do that. That's the new cool trick called the Biffamator. Yeah. Anyway, see you never. Bye. And he ran away.
Wow. That way. Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
this is Remy.
So fun.
10-year-old Remy. You just got your character is now voiced by Shelby Young. One of the best in the biz.
Thank
that's amazing. I want to
really,
do more.
That was really cool.
That's the problem. It's
can
like,
we can we do one more?
Let's
Should
do
we
one
do
more.
One more? All right.
Okay. It's just too fun.
And then
Shelby.
I'm going
to
need
good. You pick one this time.
You want me to pick
yeah,
one?
Yeah, you pick
and
it.
And then we're both going to need to talk to Siri.
Oh,
for a second.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes,
please.
But for all right, so I'm picking one. All right, here we go. We're going to do this one. Oh, okay.
Oh, I love that one.
Do you have a.
I do.
It's on there, on the paper.
It is on the paper?
Oh,
there we go. Okay, so this is from Kira.
Okay.
Age 7.
Yeah, she's. Yeah.
And it is a giraffe.
Seven?
That's so good.
Yeah, all of these
seven
people
years
are just,
old.
These kids
sorry.
Are putting me to shame artistically.
Look at that.
What?
I know.
Wow.
Good job, Kira.
Way
thank you for
to
sending
go,
this in.
Kira.
Yeah.
Thank you for sending
figures.
It in. Shelby Young, you see Kira. What is, how is, are we just naming the characters after the people they wrote it? I kind of
sure,
like that.
Sure, I like that.
So when you look at Kira the giraffe, what do you see?
Kira the giraffe is very sophisticated, I think. She's the tallest at the zoo, so she always knows what's going on in all the other enclosures. She's gossiping all the time. She's like, oh, did you hear what the hippopotamus was saying? Hippopotami? Oh. I don't know correct grammar. I just know the gossip. But yeah, she's just sticking her nose in her neck where it shouldn't belong all the time. And she helps, create drama at the zoo.
Wow, that's awesome. It's like Kira's from Downton Abbey. I love that.
Yay.
That is the best.
You know what's funny is I heard Kira and instantly I'm like, Kira Knightley. All right, she's British. Done.
Done. A British giraffe.
Now, is that normally how, when you get a character in front of you, when you get a piece of artwork and a breakdown for a new role, does it come to you that quick?
Most of the time.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's something that-
Do you hear it in your head? Do you hear voices?
I hear voices. All the cameras.
Yes.
No, I do. It's one of those things. And sometimes, again, I'll refine it and I'll figure out it wasn't the right voice. But usually it just kind of pops into my head right away. Yeah. Because I'm crazy. No.
What about Siri? So how did Siri come about?
Oh, this is so fun.
Siri is one of your most... Viral.
It was my first real viral video was that I did this Siri impression. There was a trend, which we were talking about earlier, what trends are.
Trying to teach me all this stuff.
There was a trend called My Way or the Highway where people...
I still haven't hopped on it either because I don't really get it.
I don't fully understand it either, to be completely honest.
Fair enough.
It's one of those things that I just did it. But it was like...
But what is it?
If you call me crazy, better put or no, what was it? If you call me, I don't remember what the original one was, but it was like, if you call me this, you better put this in front of it. My way or the highway. Couldn't tell you where it's from. But
it's
I was like,
TikTok's like Vine, where it's like very short bits of humor that are kind of like quirky.
Yeah. Okay, but it's not from like the Limp Bizkit song My Way or from the original My Way. It's not lyrics from a song.
My Way or the Highway part might be reminiscent of that song.
Okay. Let us know in the comments derivative. If they're open.
Okay. No, they won't be open. Remember Avatar.
They won't be open. But so I just had the idea because I had just done a job where they asked me to try to voice a smart assistant. It was a looping job. So long story short, they don't cast specific roles for background voice acting, right? So it's like all of us are in a group, and then sometimes there will be something called a specific. So for this one, it was they needed a phone to say something.
Okay.
So they had all of the women in the room try to do this Siri impression.
You beat all of them.
I beat them all, but they're all my friends, and they all did great. but it was one of those things I didn't know I could do it until I tried it, and then it happened. And so then I was like, oh, I'm Siri now. I got to make more TikTok content and do this. So I'm speaking to an Alexa.
I'm speaking to an actual Alexa.
Oh,
so you're talking to the actual, okay.
Yes. And there is a slightly bad word in this, but I'm just like, and if you call me an ass, make sure to put smart in front of it and istant after it, which is smart assistant. My way or the turn left to merge onto the highway.
So and doesn't she start speaking back to you?
Not in this one. I've done ones where we talk to each other.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
But yeah, that one like full on blew up, which I wasn't expecting.
Because you're
like,
so good.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, come on, that's amazing.
It's really amazing. It really is amazing.
What I've noticed now about the way that you go into this is that you actually start sliding into it the more you're doing it. And like it only takes you maybe like 2 seconds to really lock into it.
Yeah.
It's interesting because like when you approach it, you make a bold choice, right? Like every time you're like, oh my gosh, this is a draft. This is my, you start to do it. And then for some reason,
get more comfortable.
The magic of it starts, and then it almost like it lubricates the vocal cords because you're like, okay, I'm making this choice. It's working.
I like it. Yeah, right, yeah. Definitely.
That's an exciting thing. And also what I love that you just said is that the competitiveness does not really exist.
In the voiceover world, not at all. No. And that's what I love so much about it because coming from on camera, I was also really lucky and had great friends there, but there was always that twinge of like, oh, I want to get this and they got it and oh man. But with this one, with the VO world, obviously, yes, I want to book the roles that I want.
Sure.
But when I find out one of my friends got it, I'm just as happy. Yeah. Like,
it's also your voice works or it doesn't work.
Exactly.
It'll work for something else in the future but it wasn't that same as sitting in a room with 8 other people dressed exactly like you, looking the same as you.
Right.
Everybody's like, waiting in this stressful situation.
Yeah,
and so you're they're hoping, you're hoping, and you want to not feel this way, but you're like, I have to be better than them, and I hope they trip on their face when they get in there. And VO just isn't like that at all.
Not at all.
Wonderful.
No, yeah. I've had projects before where I've auditioned for something and I've been like, you know what? I don't think I'm right for this character, but who is my friend Steph, she would be great for this. And I'll be like, hey, Steph, you should ask your agents about this role. Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's
really
great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think the future of like animation? Do you think there'll be more mocap in animation? Yeah, like what's the future of animation? Do you think there'll be less on camera acting? Like I've heard that may be there.
Well, the pandemic kind of changed the ballgame.
It did.
I mean, people are just binging animated series now, and you know we do a lot of conventions, and we'll be doing a lot more conventions together. And it's so strange, especially lately. The VO actors have much longer lines than the on-camera actors. I mean, unless you're, you know, Tom Holland or somebody like that comes to one of these conventions that has a 9-hour line, all of the VO actors, and the thing that's actually huge, which I wanted to talk to you about as well, because I'm not sure you've done any, is anime. Anime has gotten crazy.
I just did my first anime, which was a Star Wars anime, which was so cool.
Yeah.
And that one I got kind of lucky in the aspect that I voiced a droid who didn't have a mouth to match for that. Because anime, I know,
so
is
so difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the difference is you know, again, animation.
Prelay versus.
Exactly. Yeah. Animation, you record, they send it away, they animate around it. Anime, you usually get it back from Japan.
Right.
North Korea, or not North Korea, Korea, somewhere like that. North Korea is probably not the best. But they, and then you have to, they take out the voice that was in there because it was in a different language, and then you have to match the voice lips.
This is my question. Are those voice lips geared towards a different language?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's called mouth flaps.
It's mouth flaps.
Yeah.
And it's I remember the word. I was doing a video game at the time. I don't do a whole lot of video games. This is years and years and years ago. I was doing one called.
Is it like a choice that you don't do video games?
It really, nowadays, I'd love to try a mocap thing, but I got to a point where the Call of Duties and stuff like that, it shreds you.
Yeah.
So you're doing so much grunting, yelling, screaming over the battle sounds, and you're doing it for 5 hours at a time for four sessions that you right. walk out an octave lower than you walked in. I mean, you're just, you're shredded.
Which I will say nowadays, they have it's made better. It, it's 2 hours. That's max. For when it's those effort sessions, they'll break it up, especially for the in-game chatter. They will warn you ahead of time. They're like, we're going in today, we're doing screams, battle barks, grunts, and they're also, obviously everybody doesn't want you to hurt your voice, so sure. if you need to take breaks, because that was something Good. That for me was really difficult, was learning to advocate for myself.
Sure.
Not that
anybody you wanna please.
100%. I'm like, I'm a team player. I want to keep going. But I finally had a director who I'm friends with kind of yell at me once, being like, Shelby, you need to stop when you're not feeling well. Like, we can hear in your voice when it changes, and it shouldn't get to that point. Like, let us know when you're starting to feel fatigued.
It does.
I'm
it
like,
just,
okay.
I mean, your vocal cords, people, your vocal cords are just rubbing together the whole time. That's all your vocal cords do. So as a singer, you have, I mean.
No. Did you know I had open throat surgery?
What? Did you?
Yes.
Did you have notes?
So second season and even third season, I think fourth season it was a bit improved. But I had gone to college. I was not being very healthy with my throat and voice and stuff like that. And so I started to sound very different with Kim Possible. And so they were remarking upon it. And it is what it is now. But it's definitely something that I had to go and get looked at. And it turns out that I had really bad nodes.
Okay.
And so I had open throat surgery.
This That's
was
crazy.
Right before I did the Broadway to do Belle.
Yeah.
And I was filming at the time with you guys. So I think that's why it got better in the fourth season. But those nodes were really bad. So I did. I'm curious, does doing raw unstoppable, like, does that hurt your voice at all?
Because
you have so much energy behind that.
No, you know the things that is when you're doing ADR sessions, a lot of times when it's something big. Like, I remember when we ADR'd Return of the Joker for Batman, the opening scene, like before you even got to the credits, we had something like 115 cues of just battle sounds, fight sounds, punching, kicking.
Wow.
And so by the time you're into the film, you're already like, ugh.
Oh. Yeah,
But Ron was tough. Ron kind of
placed him up here.
Yeah, he's like in the voice a little bit, but more just. But he also changed. I mean, Ron started, his voice was a lot different at the beginning of the show than it was at the end.
Interesting.
I just kept pushing it. Yes and no. I go back and I listen now, and I'm like, oh, I wish they pulled me back. But then I go, that's on me.
But
you know?
I also feel like on camera too, with shows that have the like sillier character, I feel like as there are more seasons, that character will get sillier and sillier and sillier.
Eric Matthews.
Yeah. 100%.
Who started as a normal guy who, like,
What'd you end with? Something with squirrels, right?
Plays with squirrels.
Plays
with
squirrels.
Exactly. Yeah. There's two theories to
My
that, actually.
My fandom is the Boy Meets World fandom.
Are you? No.
I mean, actually a little bit.
Really?
So then you would love what he's about to share with you then.
So there are two actual theories as to why Eric changed.
Okay.
One of them is my favorite. So the first theory is that it's more psychological and that the show takes place through Corey Matthews' eyes.
Oh.
So when he was really young, he saw Eric as the cool older brother who was going out with girls. And the older he got, he saw him as more of a buffoon. So he changed in his eyes.
I kind of love that.
I kind of do. The second one's even cooler, though. There's an episode where Eric is trapped in a car with a girl in a snowstorm.
Yes.
And he slams his head against the mirror, against the side to get out, and knocks himself unconscious. So the theory is he got brain damage.
Oh.
And that's why he changed throughout the entire thing. Yes, it's nothing to do with I hear voices, except I can still hear it in my head. So I prefer the brain damage one myself, but I think the other Corey, what sounds like a rationalization, but it's an interesting one.
I like that one. I'm a fan of that one.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool how they do
that. But it is so true with shows like that. I haven't had a character yet, and I hope to in the future, where it's like we have multiple seasons going on. But it is interesting to see how a character changes from even just the pilot episode to then the first episode once it's picked up.
So here's a question then for Shelby Young here. You run the world now. You are president of voiceover. Exactly.
What does that sound like?
You get to play any character you want.
Yes.
Anything. Existing, not existing, somebody writes something for you, or it's your ultimate character. Who do you play?
Oh, gosh. So I feel like my answer is such a basic girl answer that grew up watching Disney, but like I would love to voice a Disney princess one day, but an original one.
Okay.
They've never had, I don't know if they would ever delve into religion, but they've never had a Jewish princess, and I'm Jewish,
that's
so that could
true.
Be really cool.
That would be
cool. And that's
cool.
An ethnicity as well, but like I something like that, or a Disney villain would be great.
Okay.
Just something in that realm. It's a Miss America answer, but like genuinely every character that I get to play is my dream character.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one of those things, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I never would have thought that I'd be voicing an Ewok or a droid or little boys or a French poodle I have in a project coming up. Like, just fun characters that are just, it's just so exciting and scary not knowing, like, what your next job is. But then Sure. Once you get that job, it's like, oh, this is what I get to do now? Cool. Yeah.
It really is. I'm agreeing with you. It is a cheesy answer, but it's absolutely true when you're in voiceover. Every job you get is the best job you've ever had. I mean, it's just, it's so much fun.
I mean,
like, you know, Kim Possible was huge, but Big Hero 6, you get that, and then you're like, this is amazing. You're back in the booth, and you get that vibrant kind of energy again. And
that is what I miss so much about, what did we say it was, BCT before COVID time?
Yeah. BCT.
Is getting to play in the booth with other actors.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Oh, just that energy that's there. Because we do it over Zoom. I'm sure you guys have too. But it's like, there's a lag.
Yeah,
so the jokes don't land exactly the same.
Yeah.
I love the collaboration feeling once you're in that room with everybody.
We didn't get that, sadly.
We did. You were in here. You were at school.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things
I didn't know what I was missing.
Right.
If I had known what I was missing, I think I would have had to change.
Oh, so you recorded separately.
Yeah. I was in New York. I was going to college.
That's why we're not trying to tease anything for any future episodes, but to tease something for a future episode, the entire cast of Kim Possible has never actually been together.
And it's the 20th? What is it? 20?
The 20th anniversary 20th of Kim Possible is this year. And the whole cast has never been in the same room together at the same time. And this is such a nice room.
It's a big table.
It is such a nice room.
Also, I'm just saying, and this is again coming from a fan, why aren't they rebooting it as an animated series? I don't know.
Powers you said that it, not
be.
Us.
I didn't say anything about that.
I mean, they did.
Shelby said it.
They did and they didn't. They didn't reboot our version of it.
They did a live action,
Yeah. But our version of it is its own thing. And they just did Proud Family. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now we should turn the comment section on so that people can actually...
The first thing you're going to see is, how could you like Avatar The Last Airbender?
You just need to make a hotline. I'll record it for you. Press 1 if you'd like them to reboot Kim Possible, the animated series. Press 2 if you think
that
Christy's crazy for enjoying Avatar The Last Airbender live action.
So then your Disney princess is absolutely what you'd pick.
Yeah, it would just be
a Jewish Disney princess.
Sure.
Which is really cool.
Honestly, which I think would be amazing. I 100% believe in manifestation. Man. It's been crazy. But a real honest dream is I do sing as well, but my younger sister has the voice of an angel. And so we've always said, how cool would it be? Because, you know, in the older Disney films, they would have one actress.
And then Idina Menzel would sing for it. Yeah,
exactly. But then they were like, wait, Idina Menzel can act too. Shoot, we killed two birds with one stone. But no, a dream we always talked about was if I voiced a Disney princess and she could be the singing voice for the character.
That's so sweet.
Okay, not to put you on the spot, but what's the story then?
Oh, we have not gotten that far. Are you kidding me? It's
No, go for it.
What?
No.
Go for it. It's an adventure tale. And there's a talking animal sidekick, and maybe a prince, maybe not.
What?
Maybe another princess. Who knows? I really haven't thought this through.
I haven't thought this.
I just want to be on Disney.
Hold on. She's the reason why I think we initially talked. This is like a flashback.
Tick-tocked?
Yeah.
Yes, totally blurf.
Had that coming. Is that she voice matched me.
I did.
Really?
I did indeed.
Well, and I was freaked out.
Come on.
You?
In what?
I was freaked out when she
How
did
did
it.
We just get
and
to this
like, oh,
in
no.
hour six you know of what? This interview?
I know. That's true. And you know what? I was very nervous.
You were nervous?
I was like, oh my God, they're going to replace me with
Charlie.
No. What did you get voice matched in?
Oh, no. It was just for TikTok. I did an impression of Kim Possible saying, so what's the sitch? But you do it.
No. You do it. I want to hear you.
I want to hear you, and then I'm going to mimic you.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Maybe not.
Oh, wait. Hang on. Oh, I wish I had the equivalent of popcorn.
Okay. Oh, my God. Okay.
Hey, Wade. So what's the sitch?
Hey, Wade. So what's the sitch?
Wow. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Wow.
So good.
Wow.
That's insane.
I'm geeking
I'll see
out right
myself
now.
Out.
Wow.
No, not at all.
Okay, I don't know which one of you to look at anymore. That was not booyah.
Oh, this is so cool.
Thank you.
Wow.
Content is an interesting thing, you know,
because
it's not quite artistic, but I think what Shelby's doing is a really great intersection of creating art through her voice and showing and displaying like what she's able to do. So
well, because it takes talent.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
The point. That's it the difference talent. Is it takes a ton of talent.
Yeah, thank she's you. On the side of TikTok that is actually like talented and like.
It's
and
great. Don't get me wrong. It's great to have a platform where everybody can kind of go out there and experiment with being artistic. That's a wonderful thing.
Definitely.
That's true.
But not everyone is talented in that. I can't sing.
Everybody wants and expects to go viral. And I think then they're like, wait a minute, aren't I? And they feel entitled to go viral because that's like the video game, unlock it. And then you'll,
well, it is this thing because I've even felt it. I don't know if you've had, but it's, you get that serotonin boost when something does do well, when it's like, I took the time, I worked really hard on this and now, yes, it's getting the recognition. And then the next video you do, you take the time, you make the thing and nothing happens with it.
Right.
And then you do feel like, well, but last time this happened, so getting over that has made me a lot more mentally happy.
Because you have to be comfortable in yourself. That's
exactly.
The thing. It shouldn't matter what anybody thinks about you, let alone people you're never going to meet ever.
Which is hilarious because in
real life. Do you
get
good comments?
Most of the time.
Yeah.
I get.
But you only focus on the bad one, right?
Of course, always.
It's hard.
But it's funny because in real life, like my sister and I, we went on a trip recently and we were going to do something that she was embarrassed to do. I don't know why. And I was like, why would you be embarrassed? Look around you. You're never going to see a single one of these people ever again in your life. But for some reason, when it's on the internet and it's something so personal where it's like I filmed something in my personal space to put out there.
Sure.
Yeah, that one negative comment.
Of course. Because you let people into your home and somebody essentially said, I hate what you've done with the place.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's what's very dangerous about TikTok and the internet and all that kind of stuff is people are no longer happy with themselves. They're only happy if other people they'll never meet are happy with them.
Right.
And it's a really dangerous, weird kind of thing, which is why we talk about TikTok and all stuff, but it's just not for me.
Not for you.
No,
it's good. It's good to have the balance.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We have to wrap it up now, unfortunately.
We should.
Shelby.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
Wait, did you talk to Siri? Did you talk to Siri?
We talked to Siri a little.
Okay,
yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I can close
Siri,
out.
Siri, explain to me what a trend is.
A trend is something that you will never understand. Sorry, my Siri's very sassy.
I was going to say, wow, Siri's mean. That's why I changed it. It's a British voice when I've got mine. Thank you very much.
A trend is something you will never understand.
Okay, that's right. Wow.
Thank you, Shelby.
Where can we find you? Yeah.
Yes, social media. On TikTok and Instagram, I'm at Shelby H. Young. Twitter, I'm Shelby_Young. And then my website is Shelby-Young. All, you know, the things.
Hire her, make her big, and give her a Disney
Princess role. It's already happening.
We are so excited for you.
Taking the reins, and you can just be everybody you want to be. So that's incredibly awesome.
Thanks, guys.
I'm so happy
genuinely
having this conversation.
So happy to be here. This was so cool.
Yay!
Nice.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Thank you.
I Hear Voices is hosted by Wilfred L. and Christy Carlson Romano. Produced by Elizabeth Joy Windham and executive produced by Brendan Rooney and Wilfred L. Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham, and our video editor is Eduardo Gamba. And that was my announcer voice.
Some side effects of listening to I Hear Voices are sore abs from hilarity, falling down the Cocomelon rabbit hole, sneezing due to mass nostalgia, and hugs.
Follow I Hear Voices wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of the amazing voices.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Hear Voices Podcast. To see the video stream, subscribe to my YouTube channel.
You can also check us out on MySpace, Omegle, Vine, LimeWire, AIM, and Napster.
Okay, Will, let's teach you about the internet.
The what?